shall we pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we pray your blessing upon this part of the service, Lord. We know you anointed your prophet to give it, Lord. We believe it's your word. We pray now that we might hear it and understand it in such a way as to go deep within our hearts and bring out the character of Jesus Christ himself. We also then might also be able to help others, Lord. Guide and direct us. We'll give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
You may be seated.
Now, it's not running just in the complete order in this the next few pages as it ran previously to where we were seeing how Brother Branham was showing us how that he had his faith and his vindication, and we too would have faith in that vindication, to what we call the theorem principle or the vindication principle. Rather, he deals now with some illustrations, and in the last message we saw that Brother Branham had just finished dealing with Micaiah's battle with the false prophets, wherein he refused to say anything but what was vindicated word. See, the other prophets had used the word of God, and you couldn't deny what they said. They said, look, this is our land God gave us. It was meted out to us by Joshua. So all right, now since it's ours, God must be with us. We'll just go up and take it. Well, that's not the way it goes. The word of God is not given to be revealed in that manner. It's given to be revealed by the Holy Ghost, number one specifically, especially through the prophets, and then the channels that God ordains who would carry on from the prophet. And remember that Micaiah knew the prophecy of Elijah, that the dogs would lick the blood of Ahab, even as already had taken place, that Jezebel, or I guess that's down the road, I keep forgetting which comes first. But anyway, she was to be destroyed also by death, and the dogs would eat her up. So he had to see, now was this the time that this prophecy would come to pass? Were the other prophets right in what they were saying? Well, he went to the Lord and he got the vision. He saw Israel scattered as sheep without a shepherd. So he knew that he could not say anything but what the vision indicated and was in alignment with the word. Now, Brother Branham, of course, has been referring to himself. Now, but he puts this before us that we may view it and then understand exactly what was going on. Now, after admonishing the people to stand with the prophets and be a Micaiah, based on a true revelation, he then encourages them to take a stand for divine healing. In other words, whatever came out of the vindicated ministry of Micaiah would now be functional, negative or positive, within Israel. So, Brother Branham is telling us here that Mark 16 is now functional, absolutely, based upon Hebrews 13 and 8, which was thoroughly vindicated. Now, just as we can believe a vindicated message, even so can we simply believe for our body, for our healing, for our bodies, because we have seen it to be vindicated. Now, that's what you might call the process of transference. This is something that psychiatrists taught many, many years ago, psychologists, I guess, rather than psychiatrists, although they had them way back then. And that was, if you were trained specifically in one subject in school, the very fact that you had been trained specifically would transfer to other subjects. Now, that isn't really true. You might be a whale of a good mechanic, but a lousy artist. You know, you might beat the drums successfully, but you sing like a hoot owl. No matter what training you would have, it just doesn't work in certain categories. But the fact is this basic application of the principle of diligence, that can transfer. Because you can learn to be diligent. Now, herein, the principle of transference holds for us because healing is a part of Hebrews 13 and 8. And as we found grace and spiritual strength to receive the prophet. And remember, we are learning more and more what it is all about. So, as we turn our thoughts to the understanding of healing, as Brother Branham taught it, there can be no doubt that we can be healed of every infirmity unless the Lord tells us, no, you are not going to have it. Now, there is where you and I stand today. Just as we can and do believe a vindicated message, even so can we and we must simply believe for our healing because we saw the vindication of Hebrews 13 and 8. Now is time to manifest Mark 16. And remember, Brother Branham brought a message to the bride and a gift of healing to the world. And he said, my ministry is to pray for the sick. He never, ever ceased Mark 16, though he was already in the realm of vindicated Hebrews 13 and 8. Now, that's where we must learn to stand. There has been a great letdown, and many ministers have talked to me about it, and you'll find many, many ministers are puzzled because it is their qualified opinion. Actually, it's one that they've studied seriously and said we are simply not getting the healings that we should be getting. So, as Brother Branham said, the vindicated message, truly believe, contains healing for us, or as he said, take this message for your healing. And I think that's what we're doing here on the grounds that we don't want healing apart from this message. In other words, we're standing with John when he said, I wish above all else that you may prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. The prosperous soul is the key. And if we are not in a place of prosperity by this word, then Brother Branham was not that messenger. Because Laodicea, though thinking they're rich, increased in goods, they are wretched, which means a beggar holding a cup out, hoping somebody will give them something. Wretched, miserable, blind, and naked. And when you are in that condition, you sorely need mental healing. When you're in that condition, you sorely need some clothes to put on. In that condition, you sorely need something to make your eyesight come back to you. So we see then here, in this message, a perfect redemption, which actually brings us in to the ushering in of the millennium and into the millennium itself, as the Word of God came forth to Moses, pronunciation on that word was this: this is that which prepares you for that promised land. This message is what prepares us for the millennium, whether we know it or not. They over there, without a doubt, are getting some kind of preparation. They cannot be made perfect without us, and we on this side are getting our preparation. Now, I know that that sounds pretty ridiculous to anybody but us, but we're just going to stick with the stupid things, as they call the stupid, which are the wise things of God. Brother Branham then warns us that Satan's major tactic is to appear as an angel of light, and his evil ministers also appear to be those same kind of ministers of light. Now, of course, he's referring right back to the word here concerning his message and the doctrine which he has brought, you see. And naturally, the people are fooled into these angels of light as though they come from God. What they do come from is their headquarters of the earthly organizations. Because, first of all, they'll tell you this, nothing happens outside of our church. If this was really real, you better believe it would come from us. Well, let them prove it. We've seen their scavenge hunts and their adulteries and their abominations. Everybody's got those. Pap, I got bundles of those myself. You know, I've said since I was a kid, brought up in depression. I was just in my teens when the depression hit. And I knew way back even then, any idiot can ask questions, but it takes an awful bright boy to have the answers. And these birds do nothing but raise questions. We have nothing but answers. And the only reason we have questions is we haven't thoroughly investigated the answers. Because Christ is the answer. You see that in billboards mile high, everything else, hundreds of cars, thousands of cars. People just blurt it all the time, Christ the answer. Well, why where are the answers? Where's the answers? See? Well, Christ is the answer. Show somebody hasn't got him. Now, these ministers appear as angels of light to either keep you from Hebrews 13 and 8 or Mark 16. See? And people are fooled into thinking these are men of God. Thus, they never deny the word of God per se, just like Satan. But they deny the true meaning of it, and the Bible says the power of it. They deny the authority being of God, and they deny the authority of the individual upon whom God superimposes his authority. Look, let's face it. There hasn't been a church since the first church organized in Rome, which that's the first organized church, there's nobody can dispute history, that hasn't said, we've got it. Now, at the end of the age, we've got it, or have we? You're going to have to find out. It's been a while finding out. It may be a while finding out. We're dying off. And those of us that are dying off are finding out. Yeah. You got to sit here and find out for yourself. Yeah. Always they deny the authority, the power of God, because it's contrary to their revelation as they have set down in their little books. And that goes for everybody. There's not one church that's not that way. And the people, like lambs to the slaughter, will back those churches just like you and me today. It could be we will die for what we believe. And I'm going to tell you something. There's people out there dying. If we're right and they're wrong, they are dying the second death right now. Pick up People's Magazine. Pictures plastered over it. A Greek Orthodox bishop. Messed up with a poor woman. Now she's completely undone. All they do is transfer to another place. In other words, geography cures everything. Now, if there isn't something to that story, that paper will sure be sued. But you watch, it's not going to be sued. Because the Pentecostals are in it, the Nazarenes are in it, the Baptists, the Methodists, they're all in it. That's why I spoke to this morning. We got to look at both sides of the coin, the whole picture, brother, sister. When you're in Christ, are we in Christ? If we're in Christ, we better know what Christ looks like. Or what's going on inside him. Should be going on inside us. Now, reading from page 33. Brother Branham talking of these emissaries coming in. Angels were like Satan. And he tells how the Satan was that first angel-like. Let's just turn back there and listen to this just a minute. And see if that isn't his first tactic. That's the first thing he did. He never did leave the same tactics. He doesn't do it. It worked the first time, it works all the time. He does it all the time. Now, see if that's what it is. Now, he didn't disagree with the word. He just caused her to kind of misconstrue that a little, you know, just kind of make it sound like the way he wanted it to sound. Don't take the whole word. Now, Genesis, I got here, Genesis 3 and 4. Let's see what it says. The serpent of the woman, he shall not surely die. Now, he says here he didn't disagree with the word. Okay? And what we see here is, to disagree really would be to, what you might say, deny and kind of skirt the thing around, kind of gloss it over to make it what it wasn't then. But what the devil did right here was, the serpent did, he denied God would do what God said he would do. You see? He said, now just a minute, he said, God doesn't really stick to his word. And he said it, but you really don't need to worry about it. Actually, really there's something in here that's ulterior about what you're looking at, he said. Because I'm sure that's not the way it is. But you notice in here, in Romans 1:25, the first part, it said, who changed the truth of God into a lie. That's just what he did. And then, in Romans 2:2, but we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them that commit such things. What such things is that? That change the truth of God into a lie. There's a judgment coming against it. Now, since the message came, we're taking a stand like Eve, we've got to be very careful, because Eve was positively a virgin creation of God, and this end time bride is supposed to be a virgin creation of God too. Now, not surely die. See how he quoted around it. Oh, we believe the days of miracles are past. We don't believe there's such a thing as people receiving the Holy Ghost like they did in Pentecost. Oh, anyway, you're baptized. It doesn't make any difference. See the devil and see his tactics? Now, you'll notice in here, in one instance, the people don't deny that God at one time did it, but he doesn't do it anymore. Now, that's the way the Baptists and many Presbyterians and a lot of people are concerning the Bible. They say, well, back in those days you needed proof, you know, that this would be the Word of God. Now the proof's been given. We don't need it anymore. God doesn't heal. He just uses doctors. Well, God uses doctors, but doctors can't heal. Doctors know that. Only the stupid theologians would say something like that. You know, because, you know, let's face it, they're devil-possessed. Most of them are run by the devil. I know that sounds like it's very unkind, but what would you put it there? If the devil's your boss, you're going to think like him and do everything else like him, otherwise he's going to fire you. Well, he won't fire you, don't worry. It would take God to do that and get you out of his clutches. Now, the people here said you don't have to be baptized this certain way. They're influenced by their creeds and their dogmas, whereas we are influenced in this message not simply by the fact that people have said, well, this is what the Bible says, but in our day there has been an irrefutable proof that this is what the Bible says and this is what it means. And Brother Branham said, the same pillar of fire that brought the word is here revealing it to us. Now, oh, it doesn't matter any way you're baptized. Now, you're going to find that this will catch on more and more, I do believe. We've seen it already in certain circles where they will say, all right, I'll baptize you any way you want to be baptized, because look, the major thing is to be baptized in water or with water. Now, some just sprinkly call it baptized with water. I just want to baptize in water, which the Greek word baptizo, which is a unique word all by itself, means to be immersed in water. And of course, we know the word bury means to bury. How would you like to go to the graveyard and have a man's nose sticking out? Well, you say that's happened. Oh, no, they cover him up pretty thoroughly. There's something else did that. The erosion of the sword or something. Maybe one hand stayed up. No, you bury the person. Bury means a complete, total immersion. That's what baptism means, actually. Now, in the Church Age book, I don't know the page of it. Can't tell you. But in there you'll find where Time, there's a quotation taken from Time magazine, which I like very much on the grounds that they look into many things, one of which is in a religious section. It kind of appreciate the fact of what's going on. I'd like to know about, but I don't want to be a part of it. Anyway, in there, they have taken an ancient manuscript of a baptism in the city of Rome of Christians. And I believe it's the 2nd century. The Didache also was written about the 2nd century, if not the 4th century. But no further than that. Okay. In there, you'll find the immersion of and baptism of Marcus the Woodcutter. And the actual words that have been recorded are, I baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that is the baptism that's in the Bible. See? Now, the Roman Catholic Church admits that the Protestants have their baptism. Now, go to the theologians if you don't mean. Find out for yourself. Absolutely, this is a Roman Catholic baptism. It is not a Christian baptism. And this is the trouble. It all starts with a little changing. In fact, I have no way of proving I am not a scholar. But some of your best students of manuscripts say that Matthew 28:19 is not so stated in the original. It doesn't matter. The fact is this, what is the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? And anybody knows, there cannot possibly be two of them. Because then you've got three gods, one of which had not yet formed himself into human flesh. You have a second one who positively will not form himself in human flesh. Then you've got a third one who will not form himself in human flesh. you better eliminate one of them. When you eliminate one, you better go a step further, because Jesus was not God. He was a man. The Jesus I speak of now, categorically, as a human being. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. But it also says, let me read it for you in Galatians. If I can find it here. Hopefully I can. It's that third chapter. Now, verse 19. Wherefore, then serveth the law. It was added because of transgression, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. It was ordained by angels in the hand of mediator. Now, mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Now, it tells you there is no such thing as me going to you, and we've got a ruckus going on, and I'm going to mediate. You'd say, ha ha, you'll mediate my foot. We're going to get someone in to take both sides. That's what you're looking at here. God came down into that human body. And God mediated for you and me. But the body he came into was man. So there's one man, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Now it says here, God is a mediator. How was he that one mediator? By coming into the human flesh. It was his life. It was his body. And he gave it up. I lay down my life and I take it again. Now remember, the Roman Catholic priest that Brother Branham talked to admitted that the church used to baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask this question. Why did they stop? Where are the Greek Orthodox? Where's the Baptist? Why, they claim they never were Catholics. Dr. Carroll said, we trace ourselves right back to John the Baptist. Right to Christ. And so on. That's a laugh. An idiot wouldn't even believe that hogwash. If they were what they say they were, where's their record where they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Even the Roman Catholics got that record. So where's the Baptist alongside the Roman Catholics? They're worse off than the Catholics are. So what are you going to do with all these people? We have to get back to the Bible. Not my Bible, not your Bible, but God's Bible. And who's going to tell us these things? God has to tell us. How's he going to do it? He's only had one way. Hebrews 13 and 8. Genesis 18. Now you got to stand with the Word of God. So, water baptism must be done correctly. When Brother Branham said, it is thus saith the Lord, under the seals, the last night. If you've been baptized incorrectly, you must be baptized correctly in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You must absolutely be baptized that way. You'll not get off the ground. You'll go nowhere. So my church, I don't care two bits what your church believes. I proved it by the fact I didn't care what my church believed. He said, well, you're a renegade. Thank God I'm a renegade. I'm going to continue to be one. To break off the shackles. I've been through this Trinitarian hogwash and all that junk. They don't even know what we believe. They don't have a clue what we believe. We got more than a clue what they believe. They're wrong. One God in three persons. Oh boy. Doesn't matter, it says here. See the devil's tactics? Well, if the doctor told you can't get well, that settles it, does it? Now, not discrediting or disbelieving the doctor. The doctor's working on the line of the scientific. That's by the senses. Sure, that's good. The doctor has done everything he can to save the person's life. And it can't be saved because there's nothing else he knows to do. He's at the end of his wits, much as he knows the man's honest. Now what? Now the tree of knowledge is all right. They didn't say knowledge of good and evil. It's a tree of knowledge. What you can gather, so-called scientific, usable, and good. But when you go as far as it'll go, then step off of the tree of knowledge onto the tree of life and just keep going on. Amen. That's it. It'll work so far, yeah, and it won't work any further. Now, that's for today. At this moment. Now, science has gone as far as it can go. When it's gone as far as it goes, Brother Branham said, I go to the doctor. When he can't help, I take it to a higher authority. And that's where we are today. I'm not against anything the doctor can do. I go plenty myself. I go mostly for those things which I feel can help me, especially nutritionally, because nutrition to me is the big thing. I don't mind a little crisis medicine where you're going to have to use certain things to kill off certain things in your body, but you got to be very careful how it's done. All these things are here available. But I recognize and know positively that the great good that I get at this point is not just a matter of getting something in the line of the physical, which God has ordained here upon earth, but I realize that the greater influx into my soul of the Word of God and the greater the release of the revelation and the knowledge thereof, and the greater the dependence upon it, the more the body has to come in line, exactly as it says in Second John, or the Third John 2. I wish above all else you may prosper and be in health, even as your body prospers. Now, what does Satan tactic do? What he pulls off? What did it say here? Now watch, second verse, third verse. Now the serpent was more subtle than all the beasts of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Now, you notice in here the beast was more subtle, and so is the mind more subtle above all the channels of the input, because the mind will not be at rest simply receiving input. It'll try to do something with it. And that's the trouble. It's a good thing it does that under certain conditions. But with the Word of God, it's death. Because that's what Eve did. She got the input. The tree was good to look at. It was food. It was this. It was that. Therefore, I draw my conclusion. So, let's get into it. 100% wrong. See, 100% wrong. See? That's what's wrong. The beast is very subtle. So is the mind. The Bible says the heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? For out of the heart proceeded adultery and everything else. Can an adultery proceed out of the heart of a mongoloid? Certainly not. He doesn't even know what he sees. You got to jam food down the kid and hold it down as he burp it up. What's he talking about? The mind. He hasn't any mind. Now he can feel things, doesn't know what to do about it. There's nothing wrong with these things that God gave us. It's what we do with them. And that's where the mind enters in. Like the old Chinese proverbs, you can't stop the birds from flying through the branch of the tree, you sure stop building a nest. And man doesn't want that. See, the subtlety of the mind. We have to watch or the mind will betray us because it has the ability to make judgments and decisions, and then the body will work on them. Notice how the body doesn't like working on the tough decisions that get up every morning and exercise. Oh, it loves to just say, lie in bed and saw a few more logs. We probably need bed sores. Get us out of bed, I guess. No. Now, the mind functions by the senses and weighs the input and decides. Much input, of course, can cause confusion. The word is one input. Now watch. And therefore, there is no confusion, just a decision. The people in church try to come along and confuse you. And I'm not suggesting we try to resurrect old Bishop Johnson. You know. But he was the nemesis of every white preacher in the world. He believed in one God. Did the Bible say it? Did the Bible say it? Did the Bible say it? And he had to go to a barrel. He had no love. Brother Brandon said so. He had the doctrine, but no love. But he was right. Did the Bible say so? Now, if he could have translated that from Godhead to the rest of his life, he'd have seen the greatest black man that God ever put upon earth for the sake of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think, at least, if not, maybe Sammy Morse would be ahead. I don't know. A little boy in the jungle God talked to because nobody else would talk to him. See? All right. Now, you notice in this scripture here, Satan was very subtle. What did he do? He took away her fear of God. Now, we don't want to look at God as a matter of fear. so much as we want to look at the main ingredient of love, which is respect. He took away her respect for the Word of God when we're considering authority. Now, Eve knew, by looking all out there through the world and the Garden of Eden, she knew there was a God. And she knew what kind of a God he was. She could see he ran in continuity in nature. She could see he was loving and kind. She could see that he never ever tricked her. Gave Adam and her full dominion. And this bird comes along, and the first thing he does is destroy her respect for God. Which is the main ingredient of love. The main ingredient of love, pardon me, in the Greek is respect. Now, what kind of people are we in regards to Godhead, our attitudes, to believe a devil's lie? No fear, the Bible said there is no fear of God before their eyes. What started with Eve ends today in the church. No fear of God. What about William Branham? That's the devil. What's that? Hogwash. We might not know the answers now, but our scientists will find out. You know, funny thing. I told you the Bible warns you about doing about three different things. One thing to warn about, don't join land to land, house to house. In other words, don't put industries all together, make them one big industry. Don't make it all one big landmass. Don't change your form of government. Russia has done all three, and she's staggering right now and trying to get back to where the government once was. This nation lost its government too. It would like to get back, but it's never going to do it. See? I'm going to tell you what. Eve lost her respect for God. The church will not get it back. You say what you want. I got news for you. You are sitting here. If your thoughts are negative on that, you are the one that's going to find out very shortly, and I'm going to stand there accusing you. Wouldn't believe me. They're not going to get it back. There's no way. They don't want it back. You know why? They don't want God's way. Our Congress government is full of born-again Christians, so-called. And for the last 150 years at least, no, it's more than that. Well, 50 years about. They've causally sold us down the river, and they're going to do it now. If Botcher is right, all it takes is 2 to 3%. Of what every millionaire in America's got. And he won't miss 2 to 3%. And we don't have a problem with the national deficit. But they're not going to take it because Reagan's a millionaire. And they can be some millionaires. So-called Christians, my foot. I'm not preaching politics. I'm just telling you. And the money system, they'll save it. Don't worry. It won't go. Looks this, looks that, the other thing. The stock market, how far will it go? Who knows? They'll still have it. The prophet said they won't wash out. The rich man will get richer. The poor man will get poorer. You know what for? Waxing fat for the judgment. Oh, I know the word of God. We're quoting James 5. Quoted that last weekend. You got it right now, brother, sister. Satan took away her fear. Okay, let's just find out something. Not about fear. What about us? Hebrews 11. Verse 6. Let's read 5 first of all. By faith Enoch was translated, that's you and me coming up, that he should not see death, but and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. What was his testimony? Faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah. Notice the two great, the great era. Enoch translated. Judgment on the earth. What was in between? Faith. Faith and lack of faith. Now, Enoch got out of here above it all. Noah wrote up the flood with his faith. If you mind, I can liken the two. One to the true virgin and one to the foolish virgin. Now, she won't survive the tribulation. She'll die. But she can come back after at the white throne, and she can be established at that time. All right, so we saw here, the word does not bring confusion. No. It's the reasoning processes of the mind that people put in our mind. There's certain tenets and dogmas and what we feed ourselves by what we see. But to take the word is no confusion. It's a decision. The hard thing is the decision. That's Armageddon. Yeah. Harry Carey. Where they cut our throats out here and live with the Word of God. Listen to now. Just how nasty he gets and how he colors that word. What's he trying to do? Get into her mind. See? He's talking to her after the word was already fortified there. Now notice, she had a message. That's the church. Our church age, Paul had a message. That's the church. They refused to fortify their minds when they had the right fortification. They went down. Under Irenaeus, every single one, and now under William Branham, we are fortified with this word. If we take it, what are we going to do about it? See? This is for us, Brother Branham's talking. All right. So, with the word as her defense, what does she do? She loses her fear and respect of God. She refuses to walk in faith. And notice, by doing this, she has no defense left, for she has judged God. Yeah. And he has already judged her. And when he came to her, it was only to confirm his judgment, which she had already pronounced upon her through the word that God gave her. This word, the same as Pentecost, Luther, Wesley, Columba, Brother Martin, and down Columba, Irenaeus, Paul, each messenger's word has already judged that generation, and they are souls which are in prison to the white throne. Even so, this message is in the days of Noah. The Spirit of Christ, God himself having come down, as in that day, with a prophet. They are already judged, according to the word. Now listen, she was already judged, and God only came and confirmed his judgment. With a roar of thunder, the Bible says, Brother Brennan said. She lived maybe 800 years in Adam, about 930. Yet in the hour of that word, they died. So at the flood, so was it at the flood, 120 years in coming, and so today. If it takes 50 more years, remember, it's the same word that will judge us 1,000 years from now after the millennium. We will not be judged by Pentecost. We will not be judged under Luther or Wesley. We will be judged now, which means this people will receive a total annihilation who are here when the fire falls in destruction. That's Brother Branham quote. Now, he says, see, now don't you let Satan fortify anything. Don't let him come along and tell you one thing or pull you away from anything. Now, don't let Satan butt in here. You watch yourself carefully. You keep God's word fortified in your heart, see? You do the same. Now watch, you my guys. He's paying us a compliment at this particular point. Now, to the woman, said unto the serpent, we may eat of every tree of the garden. See? But of the fruit of the trees which is in the midst of the middle of the garden, God said, you shall eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now, you notice in here that this woman actually took up a little argument. Instead of just sticking with the word of God and saying, that's what God said, that does it, she began going back and forth in argument. Now, the Bible tells us not to argue. You're to give a reason of your hope, but you don't go beyond it. Just the reason thereof. And furthermore, it doesn't ask questions. When he asked the question, she rose to the occasion of answering and getting involved in a question-and-answer debate. And she lost the argument. You cannot argue with Satan. There's no way arguing. You stand with the word the way Christ did. See, now that's the word. She's quoting it back to him. Now watch. And the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. Now that's what happened today with the false prophets of Baal in our midst. Brother Branham brought the message of the shout and categorically states that those who do not believe this message cannot be gathered to God. They'll miss it all. He's been called a false prophet. David Duplessis has done more damage than anybody living in the history of the world, bringing in ecumenicity, mingling the seed and everything else, thinking he's done a great job, categorically called Brother Branham a false prophet, and the judgment hit him because he tried to judge others. You'll find out. I know there's a certain friend of mine, he called himself a prophet, said, well, he said, Lee said, God doesn't smear the prophets across the road. I said, he fed them the lions, and they were dung on the face of the earth. Don't tell me what God does. Stand of such nonsense. Pentecostal hogwash. The life went out years ago. They never had too much as it was. See, I know, I was in looking here talking to a person saved at 18 years of age amongst them. That I received the Holy Ghost. I knew they were wrong. But I knew they had the most of anybody. See, his tactics, what's he trying to do? The first human being, he's trying to anoint that precious woman there, God's daughter. What do you think he might try to do us? Do you think he's going to bypass it? Oh, that bunch of people there believe the message. I'll just walk on. I won't get him anyway. Are you kidding? Who did he ever go after? Why did he go after somebody else? The daughter of God. He won't do that. But these old tricks. He anoints that precious woman there with a... with an unbelief in God's word. That's exactly what he's trying to get her to do. That's the way he tried to get you to do, honey. Talking to the little girl in the cot. That's the way he tried to get each one of you to do out there, to anoint you. And the only thing you have to do now, you're a free moral agent now, you can accept it or if you want to, or you can kick it out. Now let's stop and examine this here. God gave his word. And what did he do? He left the garden as far as making himself seen to them. Now his word is tested. So today, with William Branham gone and God invisible, the word will now be tested as men come by, and they try to act like great students of the Greek and all, and they say, well, the prophet's wrong. See, they come by and they tell us. Oh, they say, William Branham made a mistake. Everybody amongst you preachers are operating wrong but us. Well, that's fine by me that they can believe it, but I'm contrary-minded myself. All right. Brother Branham states here there are definitely two anointings. In every meeting, likely. No doubt every meeting. Yes, in every meeting. There are two anointings. We can take one or the other. See? The battle is defined. What anointing do we want? In other words, the battle is defined. The battle is in array. It's been lined up. We know about it. We're going to engage in it. And that is faith or disbelief. Now, if Eve hadn't stopped that moment to listen, now, what's he saying? Don't stop for anything. Don't stop. In other words, Satan can anoint ever so quickly and turn the tide in his favor. Now, this is the tragic thing, brother, sister, we're up against now, which is the most difficult we're looking at. It's terribly, terribly difficult. Now, we're not going to be deceived to the place we're going to get lost. Some people, of course, are deceived already. They're lost. Some people are still waiting to find out. Fine and dandy. The value decision, long as the decision not made, but the day will come when a decision must be made one way or the other for the message. But this is a little thing in life, we'll say here. Now, under Brother Branham's great healing ministry, casting out devils, of which blindness can be a spirit, deafness certainly is, and dumbness certainly is, deaf and dumb spirits. Blind could be from anything. He had literally dozens of cases, instant healings. Perfect. Go down the road, lost it just like that. Satan, the Bible teaches us, is like a bird. And when the word is sown, we could be like a sidewalk or a hard piece of ground or a road. Not that we really are, because it's going to take the rain to pour down upon us to soften us up and let that word get into us. But the first time the word hits us, Satan can come along and just pick it up like a bird picking up bird seed. Just take it away from us. Take it right away. It's quite possible. Then maybe a word comes a little later. And it doesn't do too good because it can't get a root. It just swells up and sort of says, well, you know, there could be something here. And then later on it gets a little root to it. But not enough to do anything. Then even later still, there's enough in us now with the rain and the sun to really take that word. But you notice every step is a battle. To train ourselves to quickly listen to the word and believe it takes more than physical training. It takes the Spirit of God and the constant acquiescence every day to Him to say, Lord, be Lord in my life and teach me your way that I may know the true things of Almighty God. But you see, Eve stopped to listen. And it just took that one time to do it. Brother Branham will illustrate by the girl that picked up a spirit after one of his meetings. But in the meantime, he goes on, if Eve had not stopped, don't stop. Because that anointing can come so quickly. When Elijah told Gehazi and said, take my staff, go lay it on the dead baby, and if any man even speaks to you, don't speak back. Now see, Eve spoke back. If any man tries to stop you, just keep going on. Now, what's he talking about here? That this stopping would constitute a break in the message in the mind. Now, this is the way of all life. You're not looking at something here that God said, now look here. When you're born again, I'm going to put you in a straitjacket. I wish He did. But not that way. In a straitjacket, you don't build character. Character is only built by free moral agency. By the choice to battle the wrong and stay with the right. So He's saying right here, when you start, as the Bible said, lay your hand to the plow, don't turn back, because God has no pleasure in those that turn back. And don't stop for anything. Don't talk. Don't argue. See? Just keep on going. And the question is, why? Because if there's a right voice, why listen to another voice? Because the other voice cannot be right when God vindicates. Paul said there are many voices in the air, but I've given you the right voice. Then stick with it. Let me tell you, he said, I stick with the right voice. He said, look, if I change what I have said, by any consideration, an angel of God, supernatural manifestation, cataclysmic outburst, I don't care, he says, what? I am cursed if I change one word that I myself have said. That's why he said, Gehazi, don't stop, don't listen, just do what I tell you, go there and do it. Now the Shunammite woman is brought in the picture. Look at the woman when she called her servant. She says, saddle a mule and go forward. Don't even stop till I bid you. That's it. When you take the message, keep going. Amen. Don't say, I can't walk again. Now, oh, I'm getting weak. Just keep on going. Don't stop. Lay aside everything. Just keep cutting through, brother. You've got the sword in your hand. Just keep chopping. Now, remember, you run the race with patience. There'll be lots of things to bug you. Okay. Never turn aside unless you're like Moses. And that's over here in Exodus, the third chapter, verses 2 and 3. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in the midst of a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. The flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I'll now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. But from that moment, Moses never turned aside again. How can anybody say he believes this message and is always looking somewhere? You don't believe this message, kid. Smarten up this morning if you're sitting in this congregation or hearing my voice on a tape. You don't believe this message. You're lying to yourself. You're lying to us. You don't believe it at all. You're straddling a fence, hoping that somehow it just might work out. And oh, goody, I was near them. I'll drop in. Hogwash. Judas was come near Jesus and kissed him, and he only dropped into hell. Don't get that crazy idea that you can suddenly drop in. You're in, he ain't in. I'm only in Christ, but I keep my hand up so I can grab, filch somebody, get in somebody's pocket. I'm in Christ, but one ear outside so I can hear some other voice. I'm in Christ with my tongue so I can talk anything I want to talk. In Christ with my eyes, I can see it on. Hogwash. If you're in Christ, you'd be seeing what's in Christ. You'll line up with what's supposed to be Christ. What is our Christ today? What is it? Why, there's two anointings. What is our anointing? You know, Satan determined to be Christ. Why? So I'm exalt myself above the Most High. I'm going to sit over the holy city. You know, he was even called the morning star at one time, Lucifer. That means the morning star. Oh, he was right up there. You know what? He listened to himself. I keep telling you, I don't dare listen to myself because I'll just betray myself. If Satan was so smart, and we're not smart as he is, and he listened to himself, and look where he is and where he's going to go. Well, we better not listen to ourselves. Be like Moses to turn aside and then stop doing it. Paul never turned aside. He never looked twice. William Branham didn't turn aside twice and look twice. Now, we got the sword in our hand to keep chopping. Brother Branham had a sword to keep dressing the bride. I went to the football stadium one time. I was going to preach, and I stopped the door and looked up there, and I said, it's not the size of the dog in the fight. It's the size of the fight in the dog. So that's what wins the battle, see? In other words, it's not our size outwardly, but it's what we are inwardly. And Christ in us, the hope of glory. You say, well, look at all the great churches that's against this. I don't care what size they are. It's the fight that's in the dog. That's what counts. It's the faith that's in the individual. If you're a coward, go back to your cuddle hole. Go back to mama hanging on her skirts. He's talking about David and Goliath. Now, this part of the message deals with pressing the battle of our faith over the senses and contrary opinions which are contrary to the Word of God. With this, we're going to close. And we're going to go to some scripture here, and we'll just take them as I've got them written down here. And the first one is 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, and the 12th verse. Fight the good fight of faith. Faith does not mean, hallelujah, I can just take it easy now, and that's all there is to it. That's true in a way. It's true in this way. I stand back and let God fight my fight, even though they're cutting the tip of my nose off and I can feel the blood going drip, drip, drip. Say, well, I think it's time to run. Nope. Stand still. So why'd they cut my head off? Well, that's part of the game. Well, you got peace in your heart that's all's well with your soul. Counted as sheep for the slaughter. Not counted as sheep to merely have the wool taken off you. I pay my tithes. I go to church. I'm a nice person. I got a nice appearance. I help you. Very nice, but you may die for what you believe. And Paul said, I die daily. Fight the good fight of faith. It's a fight. Lay hold of eternal life. Whereunto you're called. And hast professed a good profession. Or confessed a good confession. Talk the same as Christ and the other witnesses. In other words, you stood there in the line of battle. You held your faith. You held your integrity of the revelation that you have in your heart concerning this word, and you also stood there concerning what you knew that you could receive from God. In other words, Hebrews 13 and 8 will crucify you. They'll get you for that. That's the one thing they'll get you for. Mark 16, they can ridicule you, but they won't kill you. Well, the AMA might, but they're getting their comeuppance now. The chiropractor licked them. It's the first sign of victory for a better way of getting help. True. Every front shows that something's coming back. Nature's coming back. Natural ways are coming back. People, let me tell you, the devil has run his course. God is beginning to move in our direction. He's begun to move, and the move is on. He's going to move us out of here by the grace of God. All right, wonderful. 1 Corinthians. If we go to 1 Corinthians, I think we want here, the 9th chapter. Verse 20, let's see. It's not 1 Corinthians I want. Oh, I'm on 2 Corinthians. Remember, I can't get 1 Corinthians. It's what I do want, maybe. All right, let's see. Yes, 1 Corinthians, this is what I want. 1 Corinthians 9:26. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. In other words, I'm running, but I've got a certain course in mind I'm going to keep to. So fight I, not as one that beats the air. I'm in there fighting, but I know what I'm doing. Now, that's faith. If you haven't got a course set on the Word of God and the promises of God, and you're not fighting according to the Word of God, you are going to lose your battle. You've got to understand what it entails. That's right. And then you press it to the limit. Let's go back to Timothy, the second book this time. You know, just like you start on a course of bitter herbs. I said, man alive, that's the most bitter taste I had in my mouth. And Bible said, really upsetting my stomach. Well, that's fine. Let us upset your stomach. You want to get better? Don't you want to get better? See? The 4th chapter, 7th verse. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. Now, what's okay? Henceforth, there is a crown of righteousness for me, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but to them also that love is appearing. Now, that's the chapter right there that Brother Branham went by, that God said to him, I charge you before the God, that's the first verse, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, it is appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, innocent seek, not a seek, and reprove, rebuke, exhort, long suffering, and doctrine. For the time will come, they'll not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap themselves, teachers having itchy ears. And they'll turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of the magistrates, make full proof of the ministry. He wouldn't read any further than that, but he knew what was happening. For I am now ready to be offered, my time of departure is at hand. It's all over, he said. All right, Hebrews, the 10th chapter. In verse 32, but call remembrance the former days in which you are, after you're illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions. You had to fight for your faith. 11 and 34, quench the violence of fire, escape the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, wax valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of angels, aliens. Men, women received their dead raised to life again. A lot of them didn't. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. In other words, would it be possible that those men, when they were tortured, could have recanted? Possible. I don't know. Still made it sure. Elect never ever lose their faith. They never lose their revelation. They may lose some things. They may go under, but they never absolutely blank out, because that's not the will of God for them. So, all right. He said, there's a fight in every dog. There's a fight in you and me. In other words, energy to be expended to achieve a position. You know, you have to use energy to be a coward. Right? Energy to be a quitter. Energy to go with the crowd. Then why not use the energy to not quit? Well, you say it takes more energy, and it's harder. Sure. But look what you get. You know the old saying, any dead fish can float with the current. But it takes a good fish to fight and swim against the current. Then let's go a little further. A lot of fishes would never do what a salmon does. The salmon fight and leap and jump. Could even leap up waterfalls, fight their way up waterfalls to get their spawning ground. In other words, to get to the place where they came from. What are we doing to get to the place where we came from, which is from God? What are we doing in our battle life to press the battle with what we've got, the life within us, as the salmon life wants to get back there? What about the life in us? What does it want to get back to? You want to get back to God? I believe it does. Listen, what is the battle all about? To get back to God. Friendship with God. Friendship with Jehovah. Like the Spirit said to Brother Ann, how'd you like to come and take a walk with me? What did that refer to? Did it refer to Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him? Well, Brother Branham died, of course. We know that he's not in the presence of God per se, but he's in that little paradise, whatever it is, up there in the spiritual realm. Well, I'll tell you what. My confirmed opinion is this, as much as I can confirm and have an opinion about anything. From what Brother Branham saw before he got there, and now that he is there, he's very happy. Knowing that there's something else left which has come back here. You know, when Eve did what she did, God had to cut off immortality for 6,000 years. Now I want to submit this to you before we go. Look, brother, sister, there's a fight going on. And the fight, number one, is implicit faith in the message. As Brother Branham had implicit faith in his vindication, to the implicit faith of his message, if we share in that, as John said, we're a part of it. If we believe it, as Paul said, and practice it, Mark 16 sits right there. Now, if I asked you a question this morning, what do you really want out of life? You'd say, oh, Brother Vale, I want to be sure that I'm sure with God. Thank you, that's right. Number two, I want good health. Well, now some of you might say, well, I like a second thing above that, which making health the third thing, which would be perfectly legitimate. I would soon have a beautiful relationship with my brothers and sisters in Christ. But I maintain if you've got the real relationship to God in the first place, and you and I have that real life, we got it all. In other words, to see Hebrews 13 and 8 is to see everything. Now the devil fights on every corner to stop us. By the grace of God, we've come a long way on Hebrews 13 and 8. I don't know how far we've come. I can't tell you that. I only know we've got to go further. That I know. And we'll talk about it as time goes on. But this is not at this time. When this message is finished, we'll come back to it. Now, out of that comes Mark 16. And I hang on to those two because that's what Brother Branham hung on. And I'll not move from it. Now, that was given to us. You say, what about the love you spoke of this morning? Well, brothers, I'm going to tell you something. That's taken for granted if we're really what we're supposed to be. True. How could we be less than what God said we are? Of course, that's a battle of the mind, too. All these things become battles. But if we believe the great battle was believing Hebrews 13 and 8, and that has become like liquid gold as far as I'm concerned this morning, and that becomes a true elixir of our life, all the promises of God from this point on are yea and amen in Christ Jesus our Lord. I really believe that is more than possible for us. Now we're going to just be dismissed at this time, but Brother Joe then is going to come behind me and just give you a little announcement. Heavenly Father, we ask you now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to somehow help these words get right down deep within our souls and then loosed in our consciousness, the consciousness of our minds, so that we have that check valve there to keep everything out but the Word of God, teaching us how to make a decision on the Word. We are too prone to vacillate, Lord. We're like Peter when he walked on the water a little bit, then he began to sink. We too have had our healings. And then when it came to the next wave, we've gone plunk down in the water and resorted to human means that you've allowed, which we're grateful for and thank you for, Lord. And Lord, we're not trying to put everything to the place where we deny anybody what we've got if they go to a doctor and we're not, Lord. We're just trying to balance out and have our lives in the divine order that you'd have us to have them to be in. But we do feel, Lord, the prophet did tell us daily to go along with Mark 16, and we don't think we've done that enough here. So we pray, Lord, in the days to come, you'll lead us in these convenient paths, Father, that begin to give us, as you said in your own word, if you spared not your own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall you not with him freely give us all things? And if you're here today, Lord, the same pillar of fire which we know you are, and you could do for Israel under the covenant of the blood of bulls and goats, what you did, Lord, for our day, we can have every single blessing that you promised. And Father, at this time, we pray that you'll help us to realize that we owe it to you, as well as ourselves and our loved ones, to come into that blessed situation of receiving the promises that you've extended for this hour. Father, we're asking for your help. And we're asking, Lord, that at the same time, you prick our conscience and those things that are necessary to be pricked, that we might rise to the occasion as we've been admonished, that we've got a bigger fight in us than we realize, and the enemy is no match for those who believe the Lord in this hour, the great hour of possession. Lord, we pray not one person shall leave this building unsaved, unrepentant. Not one of us, Lord. And every day we got to repent. Every day we need a little more salvation, Father. Not one of us shall go, but what we got something from you, Lord, at this particular hour, whatever our need is, to just move us on and on until we get there, all brothers and sisters in faith in Christ, moving together until by your grace, Lord, every one of us gets out of here into that mighty, wonderful rapture. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you, Brother Joe, whatever you...